There's a lot of churches out there saying, hey, you want to hear a word from God? There's YouTube guys, hey, I got a prophecy, blah, 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 all this stuff, right? There's a lot of churches that point to the Word of God, but yet they don't listen to the Word of God. They're all excited in their experience rather than truly the Word of God. And we need to listen to the Lord, or we're going to get caught up and taken captive, spiritually speaking.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we begin a new series in the book of Hebrews. So would you share with our listeners when and where these messages were preached?
Yes, Dave, I'd love to. You see, these messages came from the church that I pastor in Greer, South Carolina, Equipping Bible Church, and we began a series in the book of Hebrews in December of last year, and it has been such a wonderful time going through the book of Hebrews, and so I'm so excited to share these messages with you. So let's turn together to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, there are a lot of people, not as much as before, but a lot of people in the United States who claim to follow Jesus. And they'll say they are followers of Jesus. And the Lord is the one who knows the heart. In a house, there's many different types of vessels. Paul would make this point to Timothy, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. And he makes the point that the Lord knows those who are his. And he says those who are his abstain from wickedness. Well, the way that we are protected from sin, the way that we walk rightly is to allow God's word to work in our hearts, to allow his spirit to work in our hearts, to listen to him. And I would venture to say that there are a lot of churches these days and a lot of so-called believers who are not listening to him. You think of a parent-child relationship, parents give their children instruction for their good, out of love for their protection, for their growth. And they'll say to their children, listen to me, do what I say, right? I believe there's a lot of people who would name the name of Christ who are not listening to him. Well, today we begin a look in the book of Hebrews. So would you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to see that Jesus is God's final word, that we are to listen to him. And within that, we're also going to see as we approach this Christmas season, what child is this? So turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Now, who wrote the book of Hebrews? The author is unknown. Some say Apollos, some say Barnabas, some say Luke, some say Paul. Nobody really knows. But what we do know is that all scripture is inspired by God, that it is God-breathed, and that this is God's word. And evidently, God does not want us to know who the author is, but we know that he wrote it. Now, the date of this is sometime between 33 AD after Jesus ascended and before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And it's apparent that it's before that time because they were still making sacrifices in the temple at that time, the non-believing Jews. Now, who was Hebrews written to? Well, we know it was written to Jews. Jews who named the name of Christ, by the way. Some true believers who were being persecuted and were in need of endurance. And yet there were some Jews that identified with Christ, but they were on the verge of turning back to Judaism, apostatizing, in which they would never be able to be restored to repentance. And so we have in this book exhortations to those who would name the name of Jesus, but yet are on the verge of turning away from Jesus. You know, we got a lot of that in the United States these days. You know, it kind of parallels the church these days. And I think this book's going to be good in that sense. Although it's written to Jews here, it's written to Jewish believers and those who would name his name, but don't know him. And I believe there's a lot of true believers in the church that need endurance. And I believe there's also a lot of people that name his name that don't know him. And they need to be warned before they turn back to what they used to be and never be restored again. So with that in mind, we also know that these Jews had been evangelized by the apostles. Hebrews chapter 2, 3, and 4, as we'll see in a couple weeks, they had been evangelized by them sometime after Christ's ascension. We also know that this is called, chapter 13, 22, a word of exhortation. Now, for Jews, that would be something which synonymous with what would be called a Jewish sermon. And in the synagogues, they would say, does anyone have a word of exhortation? It would be the sermon that's brought forth. That's what it's called here, as we see that in the book of Acts. Acts 13, 15, we'll see that. Now, within this word of exhortation, we have a Christ focus with exhortations and multiple warnings, as I've mentioned, woven throughout. Now, this was not written to prove that Christianity was superior to Judaism. It was written to prove that Christ and his new covenant were superior to the old covenant, which were a type and shadow of what was to come. And within this book, the Hebrew author writes systematically and argues systematically for the superiority of Jesus. He first proves that Jesus is superior to angels, and that's part of what we'll see today. Then he proves the angels were the messengers of the old covenant. And then he proves that Jesus is superior to Moses, the apostle of the old covenant. And then he begins to prove that Jesus is a superior high priest who mediates a superior covenant based on his superior once-for-all sacrifice for sins, which has brought about eternal redemption and the forgiveness of sins and access to God. Now, this entire book, the theme of it, I believe, is revealed in the verses that we're going to see today, which we're going to look at, that God has given us superior revelation through his Son, which fulfills all previous revelation. Within that, we have some bookends in this book. We have this portion that we should be listening to Jesus, but in chapter 12, 25, we have the warning, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And so we are to listen to him, and we're not to refuse him. And so with that in mind, we come to our passage today where I believe we're going to see God's final word. And within that, what child is this? Turn to Hebrews 1 if you're not already there. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. And again, as we look at this today, we're going to see God's final word, but we see it's in the context of the case that the author is making, as I mentioned before, for the superiority of Jesus. And first of all, in this section, it's going to show that he is superior to angels. You see, the Jews would elevate angels because they were the messengers of the old covenant. They would elevate the priesthood sacrificial system. They would elevate Moses. We're going to see that Christ is superior. And like I said, although this is Jewish and it's pointing to Jewish believers and those who have said faith, we're going to see there's a lot of parallels throughout this for the church. A lot of parallels. And I think it'll be a great blessing for us. So notice, first of all, we see how God spoke previously. This is going to help us because there's a lot of churches out there saying, hey, you want to hear a word from God? There's YouTube guys, hey, I got a prophecy, blah, 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 all this stuff, right? There's a lot of churches that point to the Word of God, but yet they don't listen to the Word of God. They're all excited in their experience rather than truly the Word of God. And we need to listen to the Lord or we're going to get caught up and taken captive, spiritually speaking. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, verse 1, in the prophets, in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. Notice the subject of this verse. That's the subject of the book, by the way. God. God is the focus. And I think we always make a mistake when we come to Scripture looking for ourselves. Rather than looking for God and then what he says about us in the context of him. Here we have the subject of the first verb is God. And we have a structure here. Let me share the structure of this because the main verb here speaks of has spoken. That's the main verb. And it's in a perfect tense. What does that mean? That it's happened and it's done deal, but it still affects us now. And actually, an aorist tense there. perfect. We'll see a perfect later. But also in the beginning here, in verse 1, we also see God after he spoke long ago. That is in an aorist tense, but it's a participle. You could say it this way, basically. God, after having spoken, has spoken. That's really the context here. And I think I mentioned that the second was a perfect tense. Actually, that's an aorist tense also. So we have here the structure of this passage. God, after he spoke in the past, long ago, has spoken. And that's a done deal. He spoke in the past, and he has spoken. So what is he talking about here? Notice he says here clearly, God, after he spoke long ago. That means in the past, long ago, in olden times, formerly, long ago. Now, who did he speak to long ago? Done deal. Who did he speak to? To the fathers. Now, who are the fathers? Remember, this letter is to the Hebrews. And God spoke to their Jewish ancestors, their forefathers. And he spoke to them long ago. And notice how he spoke. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, or literally by means of the prophets. God, in the past, completed action, by means of the prophets, spoke to the Jewish fathers, their ancestors. Now, who were the prophets? Simply put, they were God's mouthpieces. 2 Peter 1:20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy of Scripture was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. They spoke from God. And we know from our study in Ezekiel, when we went to Jeremiah, often we saw that what God's prophets should be doing. Jeremiah 23, the Lord says, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. Verse 21, I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from their evil deeds. Prophets spoke God's word. They were his mouthpieces. And they also spoke of Christ, by the way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or what time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Acts chapter 10, Peter says, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, speaking of Jesus, everyone who believes receives forgiveness of sins. These prophets spoke of Christ. So God, having spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, and notice he says something here. He says, in many portions and many ways. We have two adjectives modifying this participle. We have in many portions, in many ways. In many portions, polumeros speaks of great or many parts, lots of parts. He spoke in lots of parts. And this helps us understand the Old Testament and interpret the Old Testament. He spoke bit by bit, part by part, through the prophets to Israel. He spoke many times, bit by bit. Over a period of 1,500 years, through some 40 inspired writers, God spoke bit by bit, slowly revealing his truth through the prophets to Israel and now to us. And that is what we call progressive revelation. God slowly and progressively gave one piece of the puzzle after another. Many parts, many portions or parts, piece by piece, of what he wanted Israel to know, ultimately concerning himself and Christ who was to come. God did not simply give one revelation at once. He gave it through the prophets and the fathers, many parts. And notice he also did so in many ways. Polutropos. Tropos means ways, methods, or manners. He did it differently. God spoke bit by bit, many times, in many ways, in various methods. And he did so through the prophets to his people in the past. Done deal. God spoke in all kinds of ways to his people. Just look at the Old Testament. He spoke to Abram in Ur, Haran in Canaan, Joseph in a dream, Jacob in a dream, to Moses in a burning bush, and then face to face on Mount Sinai, to the mad false prophet Balaam through a donkey, to Joshua face to face as the captain of the Lord of hosts, sword drawn, to Elijah, a still small voice, to Isaiah, a vision in the temple, to Ezekiel, grand vision of God on the throne, through him by strange signs, to Hosea in his family circumstances, to Amos in a basket of summer fruit. God could convey his message through dreams and visions, through angels, through symbols, through natural events, a pillar of fire, smoke, and other means. He could appear in Ur or the Chaldees, in Haran, Canaan, Egypt. There was no lack of variety. God spoke in a variety of ways. So we understand how God spoke formally. His revelation was progressive bit by bit, and it was in many different ways through the prophets. Yet as we will see, before the incarnation, Old Testament revelation was essentially incomplete. We know that all this progressive revelation was moving forward to the point, or more accurately, to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. On the road to Emmaus, on the day Jesus rose from the dead, he shares to those two dejected disciples this truth. You could turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." And if you look down at verse 44, "Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." All the prophecies, bit by bit, in all these different ways, pointed to Jesus Christ. And that's how God spoke in the past to the fathers through the prophets. But notice how he speaks today. And the question would be, does he speak to us in dreams? Does he speak to us in visions? Does he do it like he did before? People say, well, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So yes, he does. But that's a wrong interpretation of scripture. His character is the same. He's the same God. He's not changed, but he does things differently. You can be the same person and do things differently. And God has chosen to do things differently. Notice he says here, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his son." The term last days, eschatoumeron, eschatos, speaks of the end, the outermost, the extreme, the last. So he's speaking of the outermost days. And at this time of the writing of the book of Hebrews, he's saying, we're in the outermost days. People say, well, I wonder if it's the end times. I say, yeah, it sure is. It was the end times back in the New Testament. That's when we have the end times, these last days. The term eschatos is where we get our term eschatology, which is the study of end times. So what the author is saying here is we're in the end times. 1 Peter 1:17, "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you." 1 Peter 4:7, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." We are in the last days. Christ could come again at any time, removing his church, and then bring forth the day of the Lord and come again in judgment. We are in the last times. That places an urgency on listening to him, an urgency. God has spoken previously through the prophets in many parts, in many ways to Israel, and now he has spoken through his son. I think I said it was a perfect, but it's a completed action. It's an aorist tense. He has spoken. He is not continuing to speak through his son now. He has spoken. The totality of what he wants us to know has been said. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't speak to us through his completed word. Yes, he does. But what is being revealed has been completed. Completed action. God has said all he wants to say. And he has done so through his son. By virtue of this, we have his completed word, as we'll say. He has spoken to us through his son. All the inferior and incomplete bit by bit, piece by piece Old Testament revelation was leading up and focusing on the superior revelation of his son, Jesus Christ. As we saw in Luke, Jesus, after his resurrection, pointed to the Old Testament prophets and Moses and the law, pointing to him. You see, the writer of Hebrews is saying here that Jesus is the Son, that he's the Son of God, pointed to his Son. He is the complete Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. He has spoken to us through his Son. Christ is the totality of what God wants us to know about himself, his will, and us. There's no more revelation coming. We have the completed revelation once for all delivered to the saints. We saw this when we studied Jude. Jude 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Paul shares this to the Corinthians when revelation was incomplete, that it would be complete. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails, but if their gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. That means replaced by a superior power. That's what that word means. If there are tongues, they will cease. That means stop. Okay. If there is knowledge, it'll be done away. Again, replaced by something superior. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. That's what they did at that point. But when the perfect comes, neuter gender, speaking of God's word, I believe, the partial will be done away. The word perfect means complete. It speaks of something that is done. Teleos, it's done. It's complete. We have the completed word. The apostle Paul would talk about this. He's talking about the fact that the church is built on the apostles and prophets, built on the completed word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built, already done, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, he says here, being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In Peter's final words, he makes it clear that we have everything we need for life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, through his precious and magnificent promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. In Paul's final words, he says all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Today's message from the book of Hebrews is available to hear again online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. When you visit our website, you'll not only find today's broadcast, but a host of additional audio resources waiting there for you. As a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. This is made possible because of the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you mentioned that as believers, the Word of God is all that we need. So what do you mean by that statement?
You know, Dave, when I say that Scripture is all that we need, I mean that in Scripture, through the true knowledge of Jesus, we have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need concerning a right relationship with Jesus Christ and how to walk in this life is found in Scripture through a right relationship with Jesus Christ.
You see, you don't need other texts to provide new truth. You don't need improved interpretation. We simply need to read the Word of God, humble our hearts before the God of the Word, and allow Him to speak to us through His Word. So I believe we would save ourselves a whole lot of heartache and pain if we would just focus on the truth of Scripture and allow God to do His work in us.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.